before their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past.
With Eric Dallinger.
And Carlianna Billings.
Each week we hop in our time machine and take a look at the past of pop culture.
Hi friends, and welcome to the Pop Culture Podcast. Good morning.
Ooh, good morning. It's morning for us, that's for sure.
I am Eric Dallinger, and I am here with my beautiful and lovely co-host, Carly Billings.
Hello, that's me!
That's you!
Woo!
And Carly, this is the first podcast we've ever done in the morning, and I am feeling it.
Yeah, it's something else. It's what it's going to be, and you know what? It's a journey, so we're here for it.
We're going to have nice, deep, resonant voices.
Yes, yes, welcome. Yeah.
But Carly, I see a third window on our Zoom call.
You know what? Today, for the first time ever, we're not alone here today.
We're not alone. You are not alone.
We have our first amazing guest of the pod. We have Miss Allison Wither.
Hello. It is lovely to be here.
Woo, 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 woo,
or Allie, as I like to call her.
First guest, baby. Let's go.
First
guest.
Yeah.
Coveted spot.
So, Allie, you are an amazing singer, songwriter, dancer, actor, musical writer.
Please compliment me more. I love it.
You are also one of the world's biggest K-pop stars.
Yes,
K-pop
I
stars,
am.
K-pop fans.
Surprise.
We all wish we were K-pop stars.
We always wish. That's really funny. I've been a fan of K-pop for a very long time. I would say I think my first love of it started in high school, and it's just really grown from there. So I'm excited about today's topic.
Woo!
Today's topic is so much fun. Mm-hmm. It's right up your alley.
Yeah, we couldn't have found a more perfect guest for today's topic, truly.
But do you want to give yourself a little introduction on what you do and all your amazingness for the audience
life?
Of the pod?
Like, just hello.
Yeah, you are more than just K-pop.
Am I though? I'm joking. I am a musical theater performer and writer. I wrote a musical called Every Silver Lining that was in the 2019 Fringe and then went on to Next Stage, which is really exciting. We've been, during this lovely pandemic, rewriting and writing the full version of the show, which is really exciting. So me and Eric went to school together. That's how we met. Which is lovely. That's my life is just writing right now.
I just want to share a really cute story of me and Allie. We would go to her dorm room during our first year of college and just listen to K-pop. And Allie would know all the choreography and she would correct me whenever I would do it wrong. Also, I would sing the songs, but like they're in Korean, so I never really knew the lyrics. And she'd be like, "That doesn't sound right," and I'd be like, "It's gibberish, Allie. I know it's not right. It's Korean,
yeah,
and I'm
but
singing
I,
gibberish.
Like, if it's in a different and language, you gotta try to sing along. Especially like we're performers. Like you're like gonna try your best. You know, you'll make up lyrics. You know, strong and wrong. I always say strong and wrong. But yeah, we 100% did that. We also watched Vampire Diaries, which is a whole other thing. But
yes, we love the CW over here.
Yes, we danced in my dorm room to specifically Girls' Generation,
which is today's topic.
GG,
SNSD, Girls' Generation. Yes. But before we hop into today's lovely topic, we usually do 5 minutes of discussion on current pop trends. However, Ali, I had a different idea. Are we good to go with my?
I don't know what it is.
Idea?
So yes. Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh,
yeah.
Switching it up.
Springing this on you. Okay, so for 5 minutes. Miss Allie, I would like to discuss rosé solo activity. And I really want to ask a question. Is it K-pop? Is it K-pop? So here we go. 5 minutes in 3, 2.
Okay.
1.
So my main criticism of this song is it like the lead track of an album? No. I think it's like the third, you know, that you would listen to on the album that you're like, you know what, this is a good song, but I don't think it's the like big song, you know? Yes.
This is on the ground.
Yes, this is on the ground. I remember like watching it and being like, yo, this music video, they produced it. Like this was like the best song, you know, ever. And I'm like, is it though? Like, I think it's a good song. I think it's a good second or third song.
I really like it.
That's the thing. I don't think it's like Boombayah by Blackpink. You know, I don't think it's like the big number.
But my thing is Rosé separating herself from Blackpink? Because it is so different from a Blackpink song. Unlike Jennie's stuff, where Jennie's solo stuff sounds like it could be Blackpink. I don't think Rosé sounds like it could be Blackpink. It sounds more a la sort of 1989 Taylor Swift. It's sort of her own thing, which I kind of like that. We have Blackpink Rosé, and then we have Rosé the solo artist. My other question is, it's not in Korean. She's actually Australian. Mm-hmm. Well, she's New Zealand. She's from New Zealand and Australia. Is it even K-pop? Because it's a fully English song. She speaks with an Australian accent.
I don't know.
What makes K-pop K-pop?
I guess technically, like, the definition is Korean pop music. But I also think it's your choice. Like, I think it's I think it literally is on the like border of being both. Like, you can kind of just choose your own adventure with it. Because, yeah, there are a lot of K-pop songs that are technically like fully in English, but they are still considered K-pop. So I don't know. I think it's really like your decision of what you would choose it to define this under.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic because, Dynamite by BTS is, of course, fully English. But I would say that it's still K-pop because they're very Korean. They're all born in Korea. They, like, hands down, they're not from any other place. But Rosé, I feel, is, Blackpink as a group is very international rather than, like, a pure K-pop group. And Rosé fits into that. She's not Jisoo being the only like full Korean member of the group. So I just think it's an interesting debate. I don't know even where I fall. It's produced by a Korean recording label, which in its the producer is Teddy Park, who does all of Blackpink stuff. So in that sense, it's in the same vein as all of the K-pop stuff that has come out, but I do think it sounds completely different. It sounds more like a Western K-pop. Not Western K-pop. That's not a thing. It sounds more like a Western pop song than it does sound like a true.
And I think like she's
K-pop
breaking
song.
In to that market. She's breaking in into that Western market. So I think it is fine. Like, I think for what she is attempting to do with the song, I think she's doing a great job.
Yeah, I don't. I hope it doesn't come across that I have issue with her singing in English. Like, it, I don't have an issue with her recording the music that she wants to record. But I just think it's interesting to.
It's true. I think it falls under both. It's whatever.
And we're not gonna find a real answer here. It's something that we all get to decide for ourselves.
It just falls under. It's pop music. It's music, and then you can be like, okay, but what subcategory? But...
I will say that Jimmy Fallon, live stage of it is amazing. It's one of my favorite things I've ever
seen. So good.
The choreography is sick. But even then, like, the music video has no choreography in it. So I'm like, K-pop usually
Not
has
always.
Choreography. Not always. It doesn't have to. But
I don't know. The music video is definitely a vibe, which I love.
Oh, it's a vibe. On the ground. What goes up must come down. Yeah, I also just love her voice. It is so forward in the mask, so pinky. I love it. She has such a cutting voice in a good way. I really enjoy it. And I like her in Blackpink because of that. And that actually brings us to
5 minutes.
What? 5 minutes.
The end of our 5 minutes. All right. So we've gassed up our pop culture time machine, and we are blasting off. We are going to blast off to around 2-7.
2-7, yeah.
2-7.
2-7 itself.
Yeah. You can tell it's the morning. I haven't woken up yet. It's 10:40 currently, and I don't usually get up until 10:45. So we are blasting off to 2007 in Seoul, Korea for this podcast, which will be about the amazing K-pop group, probably one of the biggest, Girls' Generation, also known as SNSD. So, yeah. So I just wanted to start off by saying, Girls' Generation has 9 members. So if you thought the Pussycat Dolls had a lot of members with 6 members, audience, Girls' Generation has them beat by 3.
Which is not even the most for K-pop. Like, NCTU has, like, 50 members or something. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. So they have 7 members. Members being... I have them all written down. Mm-hmm. I researched this. Yeah, so I'm going to say all the members' names. If I've mispronounced their names, I sincerely apologize. I did do research. Yeah. Ali, you speak a little Korean.
Sure. So maybe I'll try my best.
If I mispronounce them. So there's Taeyeon, Sunny, Tiffany, Hyun, Yuri, Soyoung, Yuna, Sihan, and Jessica. So, yeah. In 2007, Girls' Generation was a new group, but before that, they were all scouted by SM Entertainment. So Jessica was scouted in a mall on a family vacation. Soyoung and Hyun were in 2000. They were in an SM open audition. Taeyeon in 2004 won the SM Youth Singing Competition. Tiffany won the SM LA casting in 2004. Yuri won the SM Dance Competition in 2001. Yuna was part of an SM Open audition where she sang a song by Miss Britney Spears, because we always talk about Britney Spears on this podcast.
Big fan. Can't get away from it. Don't want to get away from it. We love it.
And Seong was scouted in a subway in 2003. So, Ali, do you want to speak to a little bit of like the trainee system of Korean pop
music? Yeah, sure. The trainee program in Korea is like huge. There are like thousands of people that certain recording studios kind of recruit to be a part of a training program, and they train for years. You can train from like 4 years to 10 years until they deem that you are ready to be a part of a group, which is a really interesting thing to happen, because I feel like in America, you know, you do your own thing and then you get like scouted and then like it happens. Like it, I feel like it's a more natural thing, while in there, while in Korea, you are trained from a young age to do this, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of a bit akin to like the late 90s when like the Backstreet Boys were being formed, and it was like they were scouted by like Lou Pearlman and put them in a group and then train them to do what they do, rather than finding a boy band that was already created and just giving them a recording contract.
Exactly. And these trainees are put through like rigorous training. You know, they're trained in dance, singing, like music theory, like recording, producing, like
so shared in college.
So our school, yes. But yeah, and you can actually, there is a TV show called, I think it's called Produce 101, where you can watch people like audition to be a part of a group and what the training process is like. It is very cool.
Yeah, so like even here, like Jessica, she was signed in 2000. She was the first member signed to SM, and they didn't debut until 2007. So that means that she spent around 7 years training to be a part of Girls' Generation.
Yeah. Which is a long time.
That's a long time. Sheridan is 4 years. Can you imagine doing Sheridan for 7 years?
Yeah, that seems like a long time. But, you know, she was ready. You know, 7 years, you're like, I'm ready to go.
But it also speaks to, I think, the nature of they find the people that have sort of the right look. They have the right public personas and then they train them to be really talented rather than having just really talented people. That sounds really awful, but
that, yeah.
But there is a level of visuals in K-pop groups.
Mm-hmm. There is literally a like a member who is the visual of the group.
Yeah. If you didn't know, audience in Blackpink, that would be Jisoo. I'm a bit of a Blackpink stan right now. So
you are.
Yeah. So in 2005, they finally debut with their debut song "Into the New World,"
which is a huge song, like absolutely huge song in Korea.
Yeah, it reached number 2 on the charts. And the really crazy thing that I heard is that it is used as like a song that they have big speakers on the border between South and North Korea, and they play this song over the border as like propaganda, as sort of like a soft power attack upon their northern neighbors.
I heard that too. I don't know if it's true, but I have heard that.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's a big song. It's used for protests, you know? It's a big thing in Korea.
Yeah. It is. It is a song that we need to cut me saying that. Sometimes I just talk for the sake of talking and I haven't like caught my thoughts back up yet.
That's the beauty of podcasts, is you can like
edit, but then we'll leave this in just to be like, I'm so personable.
I'm just a normal podcaster.
I'm just a normal, you know, we're just normal people up here trying our best. I'm dead.
So throughout the next few years, they release little things. They sort of go on mini tours.
In 2008, Girls' Generation, when they were still a rookie group, they were Black Oceaned, which means that all of the fans in a stadium during a festival concert turned off their glow sticks, so when you looked out, it was all black. And they did this because fans were upset because they felt the members of Girls' Generation were too close to members of SM's other group, Super Junior, and because Korean idols are generally told not to date, they're not allowed to date, this was a big deal. Even though there was no proof that they were actually, fans were really, really upset about this.
But they don't really get their big break until they release in 2009, they released G, yeah. Which is, G is like the song.
It's iconic.
It's iconic.
If you are going, like, doing karaoke in Korea, that is the go-to song. Like, you sing G. Like, that is what you do.
So G spends 9 weeks upon the Korean charts, which is a record.
So wild, yeah.
And then it only is broken by Psy's Gangnam Style in 2012.
Which, that song's iconic.
Yeah, and Psy only went for, like, 10 weeks. It was only, like, 1 week longer. Which is also wild, because that song, yeah, is truly iconic, and so that really speaks to how iconic G is as well, I think.
G, 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 baby, baby, baby.
Baby, baby, G, 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 baby, baby, baby. So good.
Yeah, and I found some cool facts about it. So this is a really great quote. So G was also, they recorded it also in Japanese, and G is, this is a great quote from Pitchfork Media, Jacob Dorr wrote, G is their magnus opus of Korean bubblegum pop and has overcome 500 years of historical animosity of pop culture between South Korea and Japan.
Wow.
So if you audience, if you didn't know, I'm not gonna go too in it because I don't want to insult anybody, but there is some major animosity between Japan and South Korea in terms of geopolitics due to the Sino-Japanese wars and the World War II and all of that jazz and the division of North and South Korea. But Japan and Korea are also really interesting as they're both allies to the U.S. So they are technically on sort of the democratic side of the U.S., but they have some animosity. There's a bit of a pop culture Cold War between the two countries. But this G basically broke that culture war and was able to become a really big success in Japan. And then also, I read that G is significant for starting the Korean wave, and searches for K-pop increased dramatically after its release.
It's true. Also, a really funny fact. Obviously, Girls' Generation is owned by SM Entertainment. And in the music video G, there is a cameo from another K-pop star from an SM Entertainment. It's SHINee's Minho is like the owner of the fashion shop that they're in.
Yes.
I love that casual throw in. I was like, wait, is that Minho? It's Minho. Anyways.
We also love SHINee.
I love SHINee. But yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. They're all mannequins. And then he's just like the best, the only employee of the shop. And it's like best employee photo. And it's so funny.
And then also, it is their first YouTube video to pass 1 million on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun little fact is that label mates Super Junior would regularly cover this song in their tours. And they would have Girls' Generation. They had a skit that would play on the TV of Girls' Generation rehearsing G. And then Jessica would take off her face and reveal one of the members of Super Junior. That, like, they were infiltrating Girls' Generation.
That is sensational.
And then it would pop up, and the boys would pop up in wigs on stage and sing G and do a whole performance of G.
Amazing. I love that.
So there's, because they were both SM Entertainment groups. You can really tell at this point in like the Korean wave, like SM was really dominating.
Mm-hmm. Like, and if you go to Korea, like SM Entertainment, like you can go in their building. They have a museum. They have like a pop artist shop. I've been there. I've bought things. Like, it is the coolest thing. But I also love that they really represent their talent. Like, they are in for it, which is awesome.
Yeah. If you were going to be a K-pop star, Ally, which record label would you want to be a part of?
I'd probably want to be a part of SM Entertainment. Mm. I mean, I really do like Big Hit, like what they did with BTS, and then TXT, I think is what it's called.
Yes, TXT is.
I do like what they did, but I don't know. I really like SM Entertainment as like a label, in the sense of they also represent like their talent in other facets. Like, it's not just pop music. A lot of them are amazing actors and like fashion labels. Like, it's just I feel like, you would have more opportunities, so to speak.
Yeah,
totally,
for sure. Mm. I do love YG's girl crush concept. They do girl crush really, really well.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But yeah. Anyway.
Segue. In 2010, they release what I consider to be their most iconic song. Oh,
yes, baby. Oh is amazing.
The single sells 3.3 million,
mm-hmm.
which is huge.
It's amazing. And Oh immediately leads into Run Devil Run, like that era of Girls' Generation, which also in the music video at the end of Oh, their Run Devil Run alter egos like come in and they have like a standoff. It is sensational. But like that era of Girls' Generation is by far my favorite.
Oh yeah, that's like 2010-ish. Like, that's mm-hmm. when I like really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember watching the O music video and seeing Jessica with the blonde hair and being like, oh, I like her. She's my favorite. And then researching that she was blonde because she was playing Elle Woods in the Korean production of Legally Blonde at the time.
Iconic.
I did not know that.
That's
that
iconic.
That is sensational. That's so funny. That's really
good.
So I was
like, musical theater connection.
Casual musical theater connection. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
So they release Oh, it's huge. And then they release Run Double Run, which is really fun because you can go on YouTube and you can find Kesha singing Run Devil Run.
Well, because it was her song originally, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like a cover remix of it that Girls' Generation did.
Yeah. I don't know if it was ever released by Kesha.
I honestly don't know. But I know there is some connection there.
Yeah.
For sure.
You can hear an English version of the song if you want to hear it, because Kesha has it. And then they also released Genie, and they are signed at the same time. They were signed to the Universal Music Group Japan. And they're the first non-Japanese group to go to the top three in Japan since 1980.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's a big deal.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal. And then they also won, they won Artist of the Year in 2010 and 2011, which is amazing. With both of those, like, Oh, Run, Devil, Run, Genie albums, which is super cool.
Yeah. However, Genie was delayed in Japan due to the fact that their cover art, this is where we get into the scandal. Their cover art had Japanese World War II planes on it, and they had Nazi symbolism on their outfits.
Woof.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So they had to redo the covers.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's
that's wild. That's wild.
It's not a full like Nazi swastika, but they use sort of like the eagle of the Nazis, and then they replaced the swastika with a Korean, with like the Korean flag.
Oh.
Yeah, so they got in a little bit of trouble for that. The album.
That makes sense.
Wow,
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's my little fun.
And I have like at least 100 hours of listening to that song, and I never knew that.
Yeah, because they wear the flight attendant outfits, and they do. You see it when like the lamp turns around in the music video, they all have like the big like the fun hats on. In the album cover, they had symbols on the top of their hats that looked like Nazis. And they also had a Japanese World War II plane, and of course Japan and Germany were part of the same side, the Axis powers. So not a good look.
No.
I don't know why they did that.
No.
SM, why did you do that to them?
That was a choice.
And then they continue to dominate Asia. They are deemed the nation's girl group.
Yeah, by the newscasters and all that stuff. Yeah, they are, which now gets passed down through generations. Like,
yeah,
I think Twice was the nation's girl group at one point. Like, it just gets passed down, kind of like the queen of pop in like Canada and America gets passed down. You know.
Yeah, I believe Twice holds the crown right now. There's
still
some debate if it should be Twice or if it should be Red Velvet.
That's fair.
Because Twice is probably the biggest girl group in Korea, but they're more international because they have some Japanese members. Red Velvet's part of SM, and they have their full Korean. But the aesthetic of Twice is more akin to Girls' Generation, or that sweet girl next door look, which is a little bit more of what they go for when they...
The nation's girl group, which is fair. Well, not fair, but like
understandable. Yeah.
Understandable for what they want, I guess.
Yeah. And then, so moving forward, chugging along the timeline, we reach 2012 and they release The Boys.
Yes, they do. With the help of Interscope Records.
That's
from
what I was
going to
say. They signed with Interscope. Interscope loves their girl group.
They do.
They just lost the Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, and because of that, it helped them like go to America. Like they had their American debut at like the Late Show with David Letterman.
Yep, and they also performed with Live with Kelly.
They did.
Yes.
Which, like, unfortunately, I don't think that was the song that they should have.
Oh, that's
Gone to America.
That's
with?
What I've researched is that it was the wrong song debut in the States.
It wasn't super successful. Like it still sold, but it just wasn't like the best song to be like welcome to K-pop with.
I also did you watch the Live with Kelly performance?
I did.
Okay, I think it is so awkward. So Howie Mandel is the guest host because it was at the time I think when Michael had left and they were, or I'm not exactly sure, but, or Regis had left, one of the two.
something.
My timelines are not perfect. So Howie Mandel is the guest host, and one of them speaks, and it's like, yeah, we're Girls' Generation, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you speak really, really good English. And she's like, I'm from America. And then he's like, yeah, but you speak really good English. And she's like,
dude,
you? It was just so weird.
Dude.
Howie.
Oh my gosh.
That's not it.
It just shows we weren't quite ready for Korean pop in America just yet.
Yeah. At least Howie Mandel wasn't, so.
Yeah,
at least Howie wasn't, you know. We were ready.
We were prepared.
My high school self was like, I'm ready. I'm ready for this moment.
Yeah, I should also have mentioned earlier that, like, Jessica and a few other members of Girls' Generation are Korean-American. So they're a group of mixed of Koreans and Korean-American performers. So they do have a large English division of the group that can speak fluent English.
Also, in an interview with British Vogue, Jessica stated that she wasn't allowed to have a cell phone or drive or drink during her time with SM. And this caused problems because she would have to go to the office in order to make calls to her parents. And her parents, well, she's Korean-American, so she would have to call her parents on the other side of the world in a completely different time zone. So that's just to give you context on how controlling some of these entertainment companies in Korea can be.
So they go to the States. It's not great. This song kind of flops in the U.S., but it does quite well in South Korea. So it's not like a total loss for the group, but no.
Like, they're still successful in their home country. It just wasn't what they wanted with the American breakout.
Yeah. And then we move forward to 2013, and they release I Got a Boy.
Which goes viral.
Oh, it goes viral.
Absolutely crazy.
They win Video of the Year in the YouTube Music Awards, beating both Justin Bieber for Beauty and the Beat and Psy.
Yeah, which amazing. Is crazy. And then, which basically leads to, like, all these Western media outlets being like, oh my gosh, what is this? This is amazing.
Yeah. I just think the production value that K-pop has is just through the roof. And I think that's why, as Western audiences, we're, like, so enthralled by it. Because I think we've sort of, in a more Western music sense, really kind of stepped away from that, like, high spectacle. Mm-hmm. And they're still using that high spectacle, and we've started craving that. We don't have a Britney Spears of our time. Mm-hmm. No one's doing the MTV Video Awards like Britney did, where K-pop, they perform, like, late 90s, early 2000s pop music in America.
It's amazing, yeah.
But with a 21st century sort of update.
It's true. Yeah, Which, okay, and then, like, they win this amazing, like, Video of the Year, which then, like, spawns their first, like, world tour, which is called, like, Girls in Peace. Is that what it's called, I think?
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Oh, my gosh. Which I remember watching on, like, on YouTube, like, years ago. I found, like, someone had put it up on YouTube, and I watched it, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, you talk about spectacle.
So much spectacle. It is.
Oh my gosh. It was sensational. I also was like, when do these women breathe? Because just goes and goes and goes, and they are dancing and they are, like, costume changing. It is just nonstop. And every song that they released was basically like a dance hit. So I was like, oh my God, there's no time for ballads in this concert.
Oh no, never.
Never a ballad. Never a ballad. But yeah. Anyways, it was sensational. I remember watching the whole thing being like, this is amazing.
And then they released Mr. Mister, which is, I think of their later work, is probably one of my favorites.
It's really good. It is true. Although I do love, the song's called Catch Me If You Can, I think.
Okay.
It's amazing. The dance is sensational. They're wearing construction worker outfits.
Ooh. I also like Hoot.
Hoot's good too.
Hoot's a little bit earlier.
Hoot is a hoot. I hate myself for that. I hate that myself for that joke. Oh no.
But in 2014, something really sad happens.
very sad. Very sad. Jessica left the room.
Yeah, our favorite. My favorite member leaves.
Yep.
So Jessica leaves.
She does. Well, I feel like there was a lot leading up to that. Like, yeah. She started her own business.
Yes.
She started a very successful fashion business.
Yeah, it's huge in China.
Yeah, and at first it was part-time, and then she kind of wanted to start doing it full-time, and I just don't think Interscope Records knew how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Of, like, having her be a pop star and also a full-time business owner.
Yeah, so it's called Blank and LeClaire, mm-hmm. and, yeah, so there's actually a little bit of dispute over what happened. So SM claims that it was, like, a mutual choice. And that sort of she wanted to go her own way, and they sort of were like, yeah, you can't be split between the group and working on a clothing line. Mm-hmm. But she sort of claims that she was given an ultimatum by SM Entertainment to either stay with the group and shut down her business, or she could leave the group and continue her business. So there's a little bit of a dispute there.
And I think to this day, no one has really any idea what happened, you know.
No, I recently watched it. She recently did an interview with British Vogue.
Mm.
And yeah, she's very tight-lipped about it. She wouldn't, every time she would talk about her time in the group, she never refers to them by name. She never refers to SM Entertainment. Mm. It's all very like she kind of like makes it sound like she doesn't want to be associated with that part of her past anymore.
Mm.
She called it, I was part of a girl group, and when I was signed to a label, it's never, I was part
it's
of
never,
Girls' Generation,
and
that's to SM Entertainment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her brand's huge, like, even
it's
today.
Huge. It's absolutely huge. Yeah, and I remember when it happened, because I was a huge Girls' Generation fan, and I remember, like, seeing an article being like, Jessica has left the group. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And I remember, like, the only term that they used was, like, there were some scheduling issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, uh-huh, like, what does that mean? And then no one really brought that up again, and I was like, okay, I don't fully understand what was happening. And I feel like a lot of the fans were like, I don't get what's happening.
Yeah. I think it goes to show the sort of over-controlling nature of Korean entertainment groups tend to mm-hmm. be, like, they want to control the narrative. So if mm-hmm. they stop any information from getting out, then it's sort of like, what happened? We don't know. And mm-hmm. it's a little bit easier on the public rather than it becoming a huge feud, a huge kind of mm-hmm. media fight.
It's true.
Yeah, so they do keep going though as an eight group.
Eight person group.
Which this is one of my qualms, and I have a qualms about this with the Puskettles too. Mm. I hate even numbers.
I think a lot of K-pop groups are not a huge fan of the even numbers because it's hard to choreograph even numbers. You can't have, like,
it's not as good.
You're very limited in formations.
Even when I was first getting into Blackpink, I was like, I really like them. I wish they had one more member.
It's true. Yeah. You know, that's fair. I remember saying that too. So I understand that for sure.
Yeah. I'm just think.
Yeah.
Now, luckily with eight, you can do a few things with eight because there's so many. You can kind of put one behind the other one. You can do like a line of three and a line of five, and it looks a little bit better. But still, I'm not a huge fan of the number and choreography. As a dancer myself.
It's true. And I'm sure the choreographers were like, damn it. You know?
But yeah, they keep going. They release Catch Me. They released their mm-hmm. album Lionheart, and they're still like killing it, right? They go number one in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And they release Holiday. They release a string of hits. They keep going. They're still, they mm-hmm. at this point, we're still a huge force in the Korean music market.
It's true. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, like, during the course of Girls' Generations, I think they created two different subunits as well. Which is a very common thing to do in Korean pop as well. is like take a few members while others are doing other things and making like a little subunit to be like, hey, let's release some music.
Yeah. I did read that. And they also, so this brings us to sort of 2017. So mm-hmm. 10 years after Girls' Generation begins, their contracts go up for renewal. So Tiffany, Soo-yeon, and So-hyung, they don't renew their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of where Girls' Generation gets a little hazy because they technically have not broken up.
They have not disbanded.
They have not disbanded SM.
And they're also not on hiatus either.
See, that's, like, I think I've read that they are considered to be on indefinite hiatus right now. However, the remaining members release a song called Little Touch under the subunit Girls' Generation OGG.
Mm-hmm. OGG.
OGG. Kills oh, me. Girls' Generation.
Oh, Girls' Generation.
Girls' Generation. Oh, Girls' Generation.
Honestly, I love that song. I was in for it. La, da, 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 da. I thought it was... Also, the production was beautiful. They looked amazing. The song I was, like, dancing to. I was like, yo, this is a good, like, subunit release. About it.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then coming up to today, they have, in 2020, the remaining five members have all renewed their contracts with SM. So... we hopefully will be getting new music, but it is unclear whether the full group will ever reunite or we are forever going to be listening to OGG rather than Girls' Generation.
Yeah, we have no idea. But, like, even then, it's like all of the members have their own, like, solo things going on, and yeah. They're very successful. Like, some of them are amazing actors. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really talented, like, solo artists. So it's like... there's some stuff happening.
For sure.
Which is great.
Yeah. So that sort of ends. I have
one little tiddly bit. Another thing that happened in 2017 was that Billboard named Girls' Generation as the top K-pop girl group of the past decade, which like is huge.
Crazy. And
I mean makes a lot of sense. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're also the first Asian girl group to achieve over 100 million views on 5 separate music videos.
Totally.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, G is obviously one. O is obviously one.
Yeah, that gen...
I
that
got
sort
a boy.
Of,
like...
that sort of time era of 2010, G, Genie, O, Hoot. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, like, the pinnacle of Girls' Generation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, my gosh.
And
I remember being in high school, back when, you know, you had to create like YouTube playlists and just like listen to those over and over and over again. And I created a YouTube playlist that was like just O and Genie. And I listened to it on repeat for hours. I would say like definitely like 30 hours straight. I was just like listening to those two songs.
Now,
amazing.
I have a fun question. Do you prefer listening to them in Korean or Japanese? Or do you...
It depends on the song. Those ones, for sure, I prefer in Korean. But there are some songs that also haven't been released on Spotify, which I don't understand. But there are some Japanese songs like Karma Butterfly that I absolutely love. And yeah, so I don't know. And that was a part of one of the Japanese releases. But it's not on Spotify, which I don't fully understand.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know why, but I tend to... gravitate towards Korean releases over the Japanese releases.
Yeah. I also feel like it depends on what the version that you first listen to it
that's
is.
So fair.
Because I find with like literally anything, the first time, like I learn a song in a version, and then if I hear a different version, I'm like, okay, it's good, but it's not the version I know.
It is crazy as somebody that doesn't speak any Korean or Japanese, how fast I'm able to, when I hear like a Japanese version of a song that I've heard in Korean, I'm like, that's not it. Like, I can recognize the syllables so fast. I cannot repeat them back in any semblance of any semblance at all. I don't know
fair,
where I was going
fair.
With that. But
yeah,
I can
totally fair.
100% be like, that's not the Korean version. That's totally the Japanese version.
Yeah. But what I also find interesting is what I learned. So I used to be able to play whatever music I wanted when I worked at Starbucks. Like, you could plug in your phone and I'd play a bunch of K-pop. And because it would be in the back, people would not know that it was Korean pop music. They just think that it was like music. And they were like, wait, this isn't in English. But they were like, but there are some English words. And so they like get confused, but I was just like, no, it's like K-pop. And they'd be like, oh, like it's the, and people were like shocked at how much they really liked it, because a lot of people aren't like, I don't think at the time knew really what it was. It wasn't like this big, like BTS, Blackpink, like it is today. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very interesting.
I would even say even today, like, it's very niche markets, even BTS and Blackpink, like, there, I mean, you look at their YouTube views, like, we're talking billions of YouTube views, but I talk to, like, people my age, and I'm like, do you know, like, BTS? And they're like, yeah, I've heard of them, but I don't really know their stuff, because there's a little bit of xenophobia with the radio, and the radio won't play non-English music.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Makes
sense. I don't listen
to
the radio, so I really can't.
Yeah, are people still listening to the radio? Not to shade the radio, but, you know.
I guess they do, because radio play is still a huge part of selling music.
That's very true.
Fair.
That's why when BTS went number one for Life Goes On, it was a really big deal, because they had no radio play.
That's awesome. I love BTS. But yeah, I think like looking back, I think like Girls' Generation was also the first K-pop group I ever listened to. It was like my first introduction to it. And when I watched it for the first time, I was like, what is this? This is sensational. It was like my high school self was like craving something like that. And I think literally like they were so iconic that like there are so many K-pop groups that I now see that I'm like, oh, they're taking what they've like seen from Girls' Generation, like they're taking that legacy forward, which I love. Love that.
I would definitely say Girls' Generation is sort of one of these like staple hallmarks of K-pop, and every girl group that came after them is either referencing them or they're actively working against them in sort of an aesthetic way, but they are sort of the goalposts. They are sort of what every girl group is sort of based off of their look, where it's like, even like Blackpink, which has a very like girl crush concept, is very opposite. Girls' Generation, I think it's a deliberate choice to be opposite of Girls' Generation.
Totally. They're very much like a legacy group. It's kind of like Girls' Generation is to South Korea as like the Spice Girls are to like Britain or England. Like, they're this like iconic group that people associate with that place, and like whatever comes after them is obviously going to be influenced by them and their work.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. But yeah, I also find it very interesting. The way that girl groups are put together and how they define like who's the visual, who's the leader, who's like the center, who's the lead dancer, and that there are so many lead dancers. Like, it's a very interesting kind of look at how a girl group is, a Korean girl group, is put together and made.
For sure.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, they like have these like marks that they hit. They have to have a visual. They have to have a lead vocalist. They have to have a few lead dancers, and that creates a more well-rounded group. It goes to show sort of the more corporate overreach of K-pop, but also that corporate overreach sometimes really works out, and I think we see that in our most successful K-pop groups in a Girls' Generation. We see how hitting the marks, knowing where it's best to fill spots, really helps the group connect with an audience. That way everybody has their favorite, everybody has their bias, everybody has something that they like about the group. You can love their dancing, you can love their singing, and they have the strongest people doing what they do. They hire people for what they do, rather than trying to push people into boxes.
That's true. Well, Eric, you said that your bias was Jessica. After she left the group, who was your bias?
I really like Hyun, because
she was a dancer. She's been my bias since day one.
Yeah, they call her the dance machine.
She is sensational.
Yeah, she's...
I love her.
I love her.
I also really do like her voice. I like her voice a lot, and I wish that she sang more, but...
Yeah, she doesn't sing enough.
She's the main dancer.
But she is the main dancer. I love that moment in Genie when it's like, they all just like clap around her.
And she's just like dancing up a storm.
DJ, bring it back on.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. I love her so much.
Do you have a Girls' Generation bias, Allie?
She's mine.
Oh yeah,
Moyeon is mine for sure. I've always just, I love her.
Carly, do you have a Girls' Generation bias?
I can't say that I do though. I appreciate all their work.
You can totally tell this was my topic. Yeah.
No, I think that they're great. From what I've seen and heard and watched and listened to, you can't not love them. But do I personally have a bias? I can't say that I do at this point.
That's fair. I also do really like Yuna, because she broke into the acting world. Mm-hmm. And she, I've watched a lot of her K-dramas, and I literally love her. I think she is sensational.
Yeah.
She's such a cool person. Love her.
They're pretty cool.
But I do also like, I think Tiffany is the one, she is now acting and singing in America.
Oh, yes. Isn't she the leader?
She's the lead. I thought she was the lead vocalist. I think the leader is Taeyeon.
Okay.
I'm not sure though.
I also just like love in the O music video going back to O because it's my favorite. It's their best song. I love the sort of attempt at a like Americana in the video, but it's kind of a little mixed up. Like they're dressed in, I think it's like baseball uniforms.
Yeah, baseball uniforms with pink go-go boots, which I'm all about.
Yeah.
The only way to play baseball, in my opinion.
While they are the cheerleaders for a football team.
Yeah, and then later they wear basketball uniforms to be cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders.
For a football team.
We love sports. We just love them.
It is confusing.
It is definitely the definition of like when people who don't know sports just go, yay, sports!
Sports!
Play the sports game! Yeah,
it's so funny.
It's just like
really
a
good.
Very Korean view on like Americana, but mm-hmm. I love it.
But also like their dances and are so iconic that like everyone knows them. Everyone knows the G, what I call the toothbrush move. is like everyone knows it, you know? Like it, I feel like it was one of like a big starter of like, you know, every song in K-pop has that one moment where you're like, that's the dance moment that everyone learns, you know? Yeah, but the toothbrush is what I call it. But yeah, so I think like you can see that like moving forward from today, like everyone knows the toothbrush, everyone knows the like, oh, like it's just
I like the moment in O and it's like da, 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 and they all go with their feet and it's a canon where they all open their feet.
Oh,
canon, and it just looks so sick.
I love the body roll at the end. That's my favorite. Oh. Where they do like a breakdown, they're like oh, and they do a full body roll. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, no, that music, if you haven't seen this music video, go watch it.
The music videos are a real treat. Like I when we were talked about doing this, I rewatched all of my favorites.
Oh, me too.
And I literally was like, you know what? Still iconic, still great. But also like me knowing a lot more about K-pop now, I was laughing at like certain like SM Entertainment cameos. I was dying. I was having a great time.
And you've been to Korea, so
I have.
What's it like going there?
It's a real like culture shock. It's very different, and the way that they idolize their K-pop artists is so cool. You'll be like in the subway and there's like huge life-size printouts of like K-pop groups that you're like, oh my gosh, like it's everywhere. They are everywhere, which is like super cool. And the fact that they, like, if you go to SM Entertainment, there's a museum. Like you can buy figurines of your favorite K-pop group. You know, like it's so cool. I remember me and my friend who went to Korea. We went into the cafe and SM Entertainment, and you can like buy a drink with like one of your favorite K-pop groups as like the like mug kind of thing that you can get.
That's so cool.
And so I got EXO, and you can sit at tables where they have sat and signed.
I love
and
so it.
Me and my friend found like ones where we're like, oh my god, these are our favorite EXO members. So we sat at their table with their mug, like drinking their mug. Like it's super cool. It's a really cool experience. But yeah, it's very big there, you know? It's a very big big culture there.
I also think it's interesting. What we call K-pop, they call idol music. So there actually is a distinction there. Mm-hmm. So idol music is music that comes through these training systems.
Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah. Which
I just wanted to say that because I know that some like hardcore K-pop stans get kind of upset when it's actually called K-pop because they're like, no, it's like idol music.
It is, yeah. Which reminds me of the BTS song called Idol.
They call me idol,
which makes sense. Yeah. And it really does make sense with the way that they idolize their K-pop groups and their favorite members and everything like that. It really does make sense. Cause I don't think we do that. Like on our subway system in Toronto, you don't see like Justin Bieber across like a huge wall. Like that's just not as common. While there, it's like very common. They are everywhere. And the thing is, what's also interesting is if it's a K-pop performer's birthday or something like that, fans will pay to put up like huge posters in subways of them. Like that's their fan base. That is their like their family basically. Like they go out of their way for these idols, which is so cool.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of like when it was like Taehyun's birthday from BTS. It's like plastered on the subway. They'll like pay to have it like projected on buildings and like and signs. It's
incredible. When I was there, I think it was one of the group 101, if you know that group. It was one of their birthdays, and it was like the hugest thing on the subway, and we were like, oh wow, happy birthday to that guy.
Like, okay. So podcast listeners, I expect you to project me on the CN Tower. So get your money ready.
Get your money ready. Yeah. Could you imagine being like saving up your money to be like, I'm gonna pay for a poster for this person's birthday?
Amazing.
Yeah. That's an experience. Super cool.
Okay, so Allie, I think we've talked about Girls' Generation enough. I did want to ask you just a few general K-pop questions, if you don't mind.
Okay, I hope I know answers to them, yeah.
Oh, no, like opinion questions. Oh,
okay.
Okay, and I want you to give me, like, snap reactions.
Oh,
Don't think. Don't
I'm
think.
I'm going to get so screwed, aren't I?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think I already asked this. I already asked my main one. My main one was going to be, which label do you want to be in?
Oh,
but
God.
You already told
That's
me
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Blackpink bias.
Lalisa.
Nice. BTS bias.
Oh, it changes. It changes every it started as Rapmon, then it went to Suga. Oh, now it is V.
Me too. Now V is mine.
I literally have a ring that says Rapmon. And I have a shirt that says Suga, and I have a sweater that says V. Like, it changes. It depends on the release.
Do you have a Twice bias?
Oh, I used to. I love Momo. I think I'm pretty sure that's her name. I get really confused with the names in Twice for some reason, but the main dancer, she's super amazing. She crushes it like no one's business. Love her. She's great.
And a Red Velvet bias.
Joy.
And a Shiny bias.
Oh, Minho. I love
Super
Junior. He is
Super
like,
Junior bias.
He is my OG bias. Is Minho.
and he's the one in the G video, right?
He's the one in the G video. He's also the funny thing is I didn't know he was part of a K-pop group because I watched him in a K-drama and was like, who is this? he's amazing. And then I was like, oh, he's a K-pop artist. And I was like, oh, yes. So I got into SHINee. I was like, I'm in
oh, SHINee.
This.
SHINee is incredible. They're like one of the second generation of K-pop, I believe. And they're pretty incredible.
Oh, they are, like, their dance ability and, like, live performance ability is, like, worlds, like, different and just amazing. They are, like, a force to be reckoned with.
For sure. All right. So that brings us to about an hour. So we're going to wrap it up. And I'm going to ask, we'll start with you, Allie. Do you have any pop picks? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What can you recommend to us? It doesn't have to be K-pop. It can be anything.
Oh, man. Literally anything? Okay. I've started playing Stardew Valley, which is this, like, online game that you can play it on your Switch, you can play it on Steam, whatever you want. And it is, like, a farming game, and I never thought I'd be into it, and now I am addicted. I love this game. It is amazing. Highly recommend that game. I guess that's what I'll choose. I played that for a good, like, 5 hours last night. So
that's a good
love
one.
Love it.
It's good. It's a good game.
And Miss Carly, what are your pop picks?
I've been listening to on repeat Taylor Swift's new song From the Vault. I can't get enough of it. Mm. I just need to listen to it. Yeah. It's like old Taylor Swift, but it's new Taylor Swift, which makes no sense, but I will listen to it.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's new Taylor Swift singing old Taylor Swift.
Right?
Unreleased old Taylor Swift on top of that.
Yeah, it's really something.
This is such an opportunity for Taylor.
It possibly
could be the best thing that ever happened to her career.
It's going to be amazing. And everyone's obsessed with her still. And who, like, I am much among that number. When I did my Spotify year in review or whatever, literally my top artist somehow was Taylor Swift, and I didn't expect it. I thought it was going to be ABBA, honestly. And then it was Taylor Swift, but it was amazing. And I just love her. And it's very exciting. It's been a good week. Mm-hmm. It's been a good week for Taylor Swift. For new music, new old Taylor Swift,
new old Taylor.
Eric, what you been interested in?
My pop picks. I have two. I have to congratulate Mr. Justin Bieber because he has become the first male artist to hit number one on both the Billboard Hot 100 and the Billboard Hot 200. And I think it's rightfully deserved. I think Peaches is a great song, and I do like the Justified album. I know there's a little controversy over his inclusion of Martin Luther King quotes on the album, but if you listen to the music is pretty good, and I think Peaches is a great song. So I think it's rightfully deserved that he becomes the first male artist to hit number one on both the 100 and 200 charts. The only two other artists to do that are Taylor Swift for Folklore, and or maybe Evermore, actually, and BTS for Dynamite.
Wow. We love it.
And then my other pop pick, I'm going to give you one more, is I've been listening to a podcast by Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. Bowen Yang's from SNL, and it's pretty good. I've been really enjoying it. My cousin sent it to me, and so I've started to listen. Not that I should be promoting other people's podcasts. Listen to our, it's not our song.
There's love for all of us. There's love for all of us. It'll be great.
So, Allie, I wanted to thank you so much for being here.
Yes,
you are such
Allie.
An awesome guest.
It's been
thank
such a treat.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me talk about K-pop.
Oh.
Anytime.
Girl, I've been looking for an excuse to talk about K-pop. I think every week my pop picks are K-pop. I'm like, Rosé solo stuff.
Next week, BTS. I'm
joking. No, BTS is too in... during hashtags.
Oh, that's fair. EXO, SHINee.
I could totally do an episode on Super Junior or SHINee for sure.
That's fair. I'd be down.
We'll have you back for those. That will be second season.
Great. Perfect.
All right, friends. Thank you so much for listening to the Before There Were Hashtags pod. If you could, like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, whatever it is on whatever podcast streamer you're listening to, and thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.